The last half year of my life has been quite a journey. I've often thought of the Celestine prophecy and that next insight. I just feel like I've been led to so many amazing experiences, but not by chance. Much like the book I've always loved, which I like to think of as my first insight, I'm being led on this journey because I've sought out the path, and the light looks beautiful. I've been led overseas to Bournemouth University. I've been led to radio. I've been led to some amazing people, such as Paula Brown.
I'm Paula Brown, I'm 36 and I'm from Portsmouth. I think I probably feel things and notice things more than other people. I guess I first wanted to express myself through poetry because I had so much emotion inside me, and sometimes you just can't tell that to somebody else. It's sometimes really difficult to just come out and say what you're thinking if the thoughts are really extreme, and so the paper became a kind of best friend to confide in who didn't judge, if you like.
How did I come to find Paula? Well, the signs were there again. I've always had a connection with poetry. It was always there when I needed it. Thinking back to the few poems I've written in my life, I only expressed myself through poetry when I needed answers. When I felt empty inside, like something was missing. I think most people, like Paula, first find poetry because they have so much emotion inside screaming to get out. But my relationship with poetry started out and has remained as a last level of support system. I never run to poetry. It seems to find me somehow. But maybe that's just because the emotion in me struggles more to surface. Because usually when poetry is created, it's due to a prevailing emotion that compels one to record it. But poetry doesn't just record. It can recreate, or even create. One of the amazing potentials of poetry that Paula opened my eyes to during our meeting. I was fortunate enough to meet Paula when I somehow knew I had to explore this powerful medium of poetry further, through the medium of radio now at my disposal, and gain an insight I did.
I sometimes think it's better to write poetry than speak to somebody. When I suffer from an extreme of emotion, that really isn't almost myself talking, and I feel that sometimes I want to express that on paper rather than to a friend. I still think some of the things that I feel particularly are quite shocking, and I don't particularly want to shock everybody all of the time. I think I probably feel things and notice things more than other people. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder about 4 or 5 years ago. Poetry's helped me immensely with coming to terms with this disorder because it's my sounding board without having to offend or upset my friends, because some of the things that I think and some of my thought processes are quite extreme, really, and I find that it's so much easier to put things on paper, and I can look back at how I've been feeling and analyse it and help myself move forwards. It's been really helpful with this disorder. When I had my diagnosis from my GP and psychiatrist, I was really feeling quite angry with them for wanting to put me on pills all of the time, and I really struggled with how I wanted to be and how I wanted to manage myself and how they wanted me to be, and that was another time when poetry really helped me through that stage.
Today, medical science recognizes that some folks aren't helped by relaxing exercises. In cases of difficult tension and nervous apprehension, doctors are now prescribing medicine. It makes those who fear they're about to quit feel like they're ready to begin, bidding their darkened spirits goodbye for the calming peace of a calm.
Cure for being me. What I have is a gift, not a disability. You can keep your lithium and anti-D's, because there ain't no cure for being me. I'm wild, I'm warm, I'm loved, I'm free. The whole wide world's my friend, you see. I can do the work of not one but three, and there ain't no cure for being me. I'll put your people on their knees. I'll squeal, I'll heal, I'll please, I'll tease. Excite the minds of souls I squeeze. There ain't no cure for being me. You wish you had my energy and half my personality. You want to drug it out of me. There ain't no cure for being me. I just really got angry with the whole feeling of having to be drugged, basically. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way when they've got any kind of illness and you feel that the medication's taking you over. I mean, I did give it a fair try, at the time, but I just felt angry with the idea that I was being sold, really, and I just wanted to manage my life in a different way. I wanted to rearrange my life so that I didn't need all of this, and I felt that if I lived a quieter life and without so much pressure, I would actually do better, and I was right, and I was just really angry at that time. I don't feel like that anymore. It's just a little picture postcard of how I was feeling at the time, really. Today, I don't find that I'm affected too badly by the illness because I can manage myself and recognise, with the help of my family and the people around me, when I'm sort of going in too far in either direction.
Paula was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, as she said, 4 or 5 years ago, but who knows how long she had the disorder and how long she was dealing with it without any professional treatment. Who knows where she'd be without poetry, which was in her life from a very young age. She had her first poem published when she was 8 years old in the local newspaper, which she says kind of spurred her on to keep going. And so began her journey. Paula is now a published poet. Her poetry has appeared in many UK and overseas small press magazines, as well as online, and she's been anthologized in various projects. She launched her own website, The People's Poet, back in 2001, and she started her own publishing company, Paula Brown Publishing. But throughout, Paula has always had a passion for helping others to use poetry as a form of healing.
Because of the things that I've been through with my poetry, I think it's really important to support other people who want to use poetry as a medium for expressing themselves or recovering or as a form of self-healing. And when I noticed that there was a group, a national charity called Survivors Poetry, I was very keen on linking up with them and working with them. Their monthly magazine, Poetry Express, is absolutely fantastic. It's a broadsheet poetry magazine, and it gives people the medium to connect with the public and express how they're feeling, and also to help the public understand that everybody who's had mental health problems, you know, we're just like anybody else, and we've really been through quite a lot, but we have more empathy perhaps because of that, and we can share that. And this is the fantastic thing about Survivors Poetry.
Survivors Poetry is a national literature and performance charity set up in 1992 by four poets with first-hand experience of the mental health system. Survivors Poetry now comprises a network of 28 groups and more than 2,000 members worldwide. As an organization, it is dedicated to celebrating the creative expression of survivors and to the promotion of poetry by survivors of mental distress. Paula strives through local Survivors Poetry groups to encourage and enable people to maintain a healthy mind through poetry, and to enlighten the wider population about some of the issues and misconceptions surrounding mental illness. She also runs local groups and involves people in local community events.
I decided to run a local group, partly for that reason and partly because of the things that I've been through myself. I ran a poetry group first Thursday in the month at Ottica's coffee shop in Poole in Dorset, and we just do a workshop on that session. It's just for about an hour and a half. And then I also go out to local groups because it's not always appropriate for people to come and leave their sheltered place where they've got all the support and everything. So sometimes I go out and involve them in local community events, and I'll help them involve themselves in festivals and compete in slams and that kind of thing. And some of the local groups, they've had people come along to mainstream events and they've actually won slams, and, you know, just giving people the confidence to come and perform in the community is fantastic. I really enjoy that aspect of it.
So Paula doesn't just have a personal relationship with poetry. It's so much bigger than that for her now. She does have a faith in medicine. She gives the gift of poetry to others, particularly others with mental health issues, because of her faith. But as far as her personal relationship with poetry, she doesn't just write to help her with her disorder. As she said, she probably feels things more and notices things more than others, which she feels is a bonus of having bipolar.
Affectuoso tome pesta literally means a musical term to describe the musician to play with affection and storm. But basically I was caught in a storm in the Tesco's car park, and I really enjoyed the rain and the musical quality of the sound of it, and I just had a great time, and I started to write in the car park in the car before I even left, so it was really meaningful. Affectuoso tempesta. Cloudburst and your music resonates, exploding globes to my lips, in the trickling rivulets sucking hair to cheek. drumming delicately on exposed shoulders, summer sweet sparkle notes, pizzicato waterfall melody for first violin, pianissimo, legato, lento, the earth slows to listen to a natural tremolo. Intricate compositions arrange droplets queuing to be played, falling into each other, glissando into hushed, warm wetness.
Sometimes she does need to write to clear her head.
I've got this feeling that there's something that I miss. I could do most anything. Don't you breathe.
A friend of mine was on the phone to me just before I went to sleep one night, and he challenged me to write a poem about a sugar cube. I just told him not to be so stupid, but I was a little bit hypomanic at the time, I suppose, and I just could not sleep thinking about this sugar cube and what a stupid idea it was. And I was laying awake until 3 a.m. and in the end I just had to turn the light on and write this poem, and then I was able to go to sleep after that. So it's a little illustration of how poetry can help with mania. Earworm. I know a song that will get on your nerves, Joe Pasquale. In a dark and silent room, the family's asleep. Words are flirting with the mind, a thousand kisses deep. This poem wants to be a sugar cube, blocked, rigid, ornamental words constructed to perfection in 3D glitter, crystalline text lined up row upon row. This poem wants to roll around your mouth, linger a while, a lifetime on the hips, and vanish on your lips.
Paula sometimes writes to help her balance personal relationships. Over the years, she's noticed that many of her poems explored her obsessions with the boundaries between love, lust, and friendship. She put them together in a collection entitled Platonic Erotic. Unawares is part of that collection.
Unawares. He says that his hands are cold, oblivious to the physical effect on his companion. The mind rush, chest flush, goosebumpy, heart thumpy, thrill resulting in a shudder. His eyes meet hers fractionally longer than they did before, as he relaxes into familiarity, and she feels her pupils swell, burst and blossom, wide eyes averted lest they give her away. His mouth shapes ordinary words, his lips part gently and then touch. She speaks of something ugly, a diversion, as he places his hand on his stomach and his dark hair waves at her, laughing. I mean, do you tell somebody that you feel a certain way, or do you just write it on paper and wash your hands afterwards? It's just a confession on the page. Sometimes I think the balance of friendships and relationships, there's very fine line sometimes, and as somebody who feels emotions very strongly, it does actually become quite difficult sometimes, and rather than risk offending a close friend or something, it's often easier to just write it down and not confess in person. It's not always introspective. It was at the outset. I think most people start writing about their own emotions, particularly if they're going through something particularly difficult or if they've lost somebody. It very often starts the process of wanting to write and express. I really don't always write for myself now. I sometimes write for portraits of other people, write for projects. It's a very differing process from when I first started out.
Well, that's where I started out. As I've said, I haven't written many poems in my life. I wrote two that were very similar, dealing with the meaning of life. Depressing, I know, but I remember how I felt each time, and I think I was depressed. And the last poem I wrote was last May. A very good friend of mine passed away suddenly. The friend I've known the longest. We met when we were 8 years old. We were in the same third grade class. We immediately became such close friends. Then soon after, my family moved to the same street he lived on, where his parents still live today. His parents, three brothers, and two sisters quickly became my second family. I can't tell you how much time I spent in that house growing up. I can't begin to tell you how much I learned just from observing this solid family dynamic. I never really thought of myself as an only child growing up. Never had any conflict there. I had the Hunter family. When I think of Aaron, I think back to my childhood and some of the things we learned the hard way, together. I think of the man he became. And although we moved across country and we lost touch for a while, I always valued that relationship. I treasured those times I did see him. I continued to learn so much from him. He always did amaze me. I wonder if he knew that. He just had so many gifts. So when I got that call from his brother, felt like someone was ripping me apart from the inside. Everything was moving so fast and so slow at the same time. I felt like not only myself, but everyone was losing so much because anyone had the potential of meeting Aaron. That's all it would have taken to one meeting. I really believe that one meeting would have left a lasting impression on anyone. God, I just have to close my eyes to see that infectious smile. So I was just in shock for weeks, months after I found out. I felt empty again, lost. I needed poetry. I needed to express. I knew him as Aaron. A last lesson left with a last breath, remembering his rare, genuine love. He was addictive, pure, a messenger telling us that there is more. Love everyone as I have loved you, is what I have learned. Material greed, selfish need can now be burned. Why was he taken so soon? I need him to see. Oh, how selfish I can be. I believe now there will be a rebirth. He must have to reach some early at first. There must also be others so that we can all feel it at least once, and then make the decision to have the vision of one. I will never forget that it is an embrace, not just a hug. Understanding, not just listening. Loving, not just pretending. Thank you.